First, I'd like to share with you that in just one day's time, we received several verses that all seem to agree of what's coming. Of course, we come together in our morning prayer meeting, and the brethren that come, they always ask the Lord for an important verse for our future, or they may ask a question, you know, from the Lord and ask for a verse and get an answer, or get. We always pray about these things. And so anyway, we got three verses that were, or texts, I should say, that seem to really agree with something coming very close. I'll start with Isaiah 64, 1 through 3. It says, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, the mountains might quake at thy presence." Sounds so familiar with many texts that we've received saying pretty much the same thing, a visitation of the Lord. Now, I know that there are rapture folks out there that are waiting for the Lord to come in the air and take them away, but he's coming as the latter rain. That's what he said. And that is not to fly away, but to mature his people. And he is coming. He's coming in his man-child ministry, like he came in the body of David, like he came in the body of Jesus, right? The Lord God is coming. He's coming manifested by his Spirit and by his Word. And he's coming to raise up his people to prepare them for the kingdom. Amen. "Oh, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might quake at thy presence, as when fire kindleth the brushwood, and the fire causes the waters to boil." Water's boiling, earth quaking. Wonder if this has anything to do with Ephraim's rock that hits off of Puerto Rico there. And I personally believe that that could be one of three rocks. That we've had pictures of the original rock in visions, and it's much bigger than the earth could stand, actually, I believe. But it's a possibility we've had revelations of three rocks coming. And I don't know if that has anything to do with, say, Gil Broussard's, the astronomer, saying that Planet X would pass through in late August over the Earth's orbit, through the Earth's orbit in late August, and pass back by its close pass in Passover of 2016. So, I don't know. It could be. Somebody's bound to get it right sooner or later. At any rate, I've questioned, and I've shared this theory with you before, that these rocks or rock could very well bring a tsunami to the East Coast at the same time as setting off a fault line that goes up the East Coast down there towards Puerto Rico. And that could begin a shifting of the plates, so to speak, and cause earthquakes literally all over the world. It's not as far-fetched as people think. Something coming that fast and hitting Earth that big could do major damage. Could start, well, remember, Virginia Boldy is three comets, the beginning of troubles. She saw three comets all coming towards the Earth, right? The beginning of troubles. So, anyway, we could have the beginning of troubles coming here pretty quickly. And he goes on to say here, "To make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence." The nations tremble at thy presence. "When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down. The mountains quaked at thy presence." interesting text that kind of agrees with another one that we received. Like I said, in one day we received all these. Psalm 114. When Israel went forth out of Egypt, now that kind of identifies the beginning of the wilderness or tribulation, which we're coming real close to. You know, I'm just going to say something here, interject something here. Pastor Lindsey Williams, sent out an urgent warning. He said the New World Order will be implemented in September. The New World Currency will be introduced in October. We are at the brink of a total worldwide financial collapse. Well, we know that. And, of course, he gets his information from the elite. And I trust the elite less than he does. I don't believe they're honorable. I believe that their plans and their schemes that they sometimes warn you of have nothing to do with honor. But I do believe that there may be a hook or a trap inside some of the things that they reveal to Lindsey Williams. One of them could be a gold trap. Okay, I don't know, but I just have an opinion on that. That's not a prophecy. In other words, you get a reputation for telling people things that do happen, and then along comes this hook. You know, the devil doesn't mind giving you a lot of truth, but he likes to put a hook in there to grab you and to snag you. And I don't doubt that the New World Order could be implemented in September. It seems like a pretty good time. I'm not prophesying it, but it's a good possibility. And we are heading towards, I believe, a worldwide financial collapse very quickly. And but the New World Order, of course, talks about the tribulation, which is what we're seeing here in Psalm 114 and 1. When Israel went forth out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, going into the wilderness. God's people are going into the wilderness. Exactly as Revelation 12 tells us. And that is the tribulation. Judah became his sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. So the Lord shows up, and the sea sees it and flees, okay? The Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams. That sounds like a lot of movement. The little hills like lambs, hills and mountains moving. What aileth thee, O thou sea, that thou fleest? Well, you know, if there is a splash down or splash downs of big rocks coming from space, the sea would definitely flee and return. Thou Jordan, that thou turnest back, ye mountains that ye skip like rams, ye little hills like lambs, tremble thou earth, at the presence of the Lord. There it is, the Lord coming with a trembling earth once again, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turneth the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a fountain of waters. So anyway, the theory that I have, and that's really all it is, but I have, you know, looked at a lot of dreams and visions and things, and the theory I have is that the thing that can start this is this stuff coming from space. And that could happen because Planet X has pumped something out of orbit. I think I got a revelation sent to me about that, bumping something out of its normal orbit, sending it this way. And it's possible, too, what Ephraim said about their plans to shoot it, break it up. And, again, just putting pieces together here, no prophecy. I just know that the New World Order is coming, and that a new world currency is coming, and that a total worldwide financial collapse is coming, and they're all coming very quickly. And now we're seeing that the Lord's coming, and He's coming with earthquakes. And He's coming with a lot of water movement. And that all sounds like my theory, you know. At any rate, if they start at the East Coast because of a great earthquake, which I believe could very well happen with the rock that Ephraim describes hitting that particular part of the plate, which is already very earthquake prone, and a great fault line there going up towards the East Coast, it's possible, you know, that that could start the whole ball rolling. And also that this could be the time of the Lord's coming in His man-child ministry as the white horse rider to bring not only judgment but correction and leadership to God's people. Okay? So take that for what it's worth. And then I received this text in Micah chapter 1. And I'm going to read to you 2 through 4. And honestly, I received this text when I was asking about a particular factious leader who had been caught at grand theft a couple of times. And I was asking the Lord about him, and I believe the Lord was telling me this text right here, because He's told us this same thing is going to happen when He judges the faction. I'll read this, and then I'll share another text with you about that. Hear, ye peoples, all of you. Peoples, all of you. This sounds like a worldwide thing. Hearken, O earth, and all therein is. And let the Lord be witness against you. Remember that the man-child movement is a worldwide movement. The bride movement is a worldwide movement. God is dealing, when He preaches in Revelation, many of those things are worldwide happenings, you know. And I do believe this earthquake, by the shifting of the plates that can be done by this rock or rocks coming from the sky, that this could very well be many earthquakes at one particular short period of time that happened because of the shifting of the plates. He witnesses against you, the Lord, from His holy temple. Well, here you got the coming of the Lord again. For behold, the Lord cometh forth out of His place, and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. And the mountains shall be melted under Him. Well, they can be melted a couple of ways. Volcanic action. Or they can just sink right down into the earth, which we'd have visions of, actually, of the fault lines that go down both sides of this valley, opening up and great large pieces of earth just sliding off in there. Yeah. Melting, so to speak. Shall be melted under Him, and the valleys shall be cleft. There it is. As wax before the fire. As waters that are poured down a steep place. For the transgression of Jacob is all of this, for the sins of the house of Israel. Well, you know, first of all, the tribulation is coming not because of the world, but it's coming because of the transgressions of God's people, His church. God is in the work of building a kingdom of sons of God, and people must come to repentance very, very quickly. And this is God's plan. Now, you may say, well, this asking God for something and sticking your finger down, let me tell you. how many times recently I've lost count of two people coming from two different directions to our morning study, having flipped the Bible open, stuck their finger down on the exact same verse. And, or, one person one day, and the same person getting the same verse the next day. Or, one person getting that verse one day and somebody else getting it next day. It just over and over. You know, what is the chances of this? You just have to have a wild imagination not to believe it's God, you know. Well, here we got God coming with a judgment that moves the mountains, moves the valleys, and moves the waters. And in this particular case, I'd asked a question, you know, concerning this. And this is the same answer that I got before. In fact, many people have gotten before. Isaiah 29, it starts out, "Ho, Ariel, Ariel, the city where David encamped, edge ye year to year, let the feasts come round, then will I distress Ariel." Okay, that's, I believe that's happened. Ariel, by the way, if you read on down through verse 8, you find out that this is Zion. Okay. And verse 5, "But the multitude of thy foes," this is the people that are gathered together against Zion, the bride, which is something that's happening all over the world. "But the multitude of thy foes shall be like small dust, as the multitude of the terrible ones, as chaff that passeth away. Yea, it shall be in an instant, suddenly." Something big is going to happen suddenly that is going to cause quite a lot of confusion and trouble. Anyway, "she shall be visited of the Lord of hosts." There's the visitation that we've seen so many times, with thunder and with earthquake and great noise, with whirlwind and tempest and the flame of a devouring fire. "And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, even all that fight against her and her stronghold, and that distress her, shall be as a dream, as a vision of the night." Well, amen. And further down, at the end of verse 8, he says that fight against Mount Zion. So it's talking about the bride. This is a spiritual entity, the bride, being fought against and God bringing an end to it. For what purpose? Well, I believe it's for the purpose of preparing the world to be a wilderness so that the bride can go into the wilderness. Remember, God's interest, of course, is sanctifying his people. Okay? I may come back to that Lindsay Williams thing later if I have time, but right now, I want to remind you that we've had so many dreams about an East Coast tsunami. One of our local sisters, Sandy Shaw, had one about her and her husband traveling up the East Coast, and in comes a great big wave, a monster wave, coming over the coast. And, of course, we took that as a warning. We shared the warning with you, and we shared other warnings like that with you. Well, this one is a warning like that. I don't always agree with people's theology, you know. I do believe God can give people true dreams and visions because he loves his people even if their theology isn't right, you know. And I don't agree with everything Patricia Green or even those around her teach or believe, or they're trying to make sense of this particular revelation. It makes sense to me because, I don't know, you know, things just kind of fit when you got your theology right. So I'm going to share this from you from Dr. Patricia Green. And it's similar to a lot of things we've received before. She starts out with something concerning that I think is just a confirmation that God could be speaking to her. She said, "This is a prophetic word that I received back in 2008 during the Democratic race between when Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, because it ties in with what I want to move into. Now, when I received this word from the Lord, Hillary Clinton was slightly ahead in the Democratic race, and the Lord said this to me, 'Barack Obama will win the Democratic nomination.' And he was going, we got words about that too, that he was going to win it, and he did. I said he was going to win it, and he did. And he was going to be the next president of the United States of America. Quickly, I said, 'Lord, do you expect me to vote for a man who supports abortion and homosexuality?' And the Lord replied to me and said, 'Child, I did not tell you to vote for him. I'm telling you, he will be the next president of the United States. He don't care how you vote. He's just telling you what's going to happen, right? We think we put people in by the vote, but I frankly don't believe we may have put the last two presidents in by a vote. Anyway, he said Barack Obama is a fork-tongued devil. Okay, meaning he doesn't tell the truth, but that's kind of part of the religion, right? That comes along with the religion. It's honorable to them to not tell the truth to people that are unbelievers. And so Muslims, that's part of their doctrine, their theology, and their Bible, right? Anyway, your country has been pushing for abortions and homosexuality, so I'm giving you a president who will promote abortions and homosexuality. But rest assured that my hand of judgment will come against your nation while he is president. Well, I believe that. It's happening already. We don't have to stretch that very far, do we? And she said, well, I received that in 2008 before Barack Obama actually won the Democratic nomination. Then she said, now I want to jump forward to April of 2013. This is regarding a couple of dreams that I had. So on April the 17th, 2013, this is the dream that I had. And in this dream, my husband and I were traveling in a vehicle in North Carolina. So over there on the East Coast, kind of like Sandy's revelation, right? And we were driving up a mountain road, and we saw this policeman with a blue light flashing as a warning signal. And he had stopped the traffic, which prevented us from proceeding up the mountain. So in the dream, I got out of the vehicle, and I walked up the steep mountain road, and the officer motioned for me to stop. Then all of a sudden, behind the officer, I saw this large wave getting ready to crest over the top of this mountain. In other words, in her direction, right? And it was heading towards me. So, in the dream, I placed my back to the wave, and I was able, and the wave kind of washed me down back to the bottom of the mountain. Now, at that moment in the dream, I knew that the Atlantic Ocean had washed in as far as this mountain in North Carolina. That was my first dream on April the 17th. Then, 10 days later, on April the 27th, 2013, I had a second dream. And in this dream, I was at a beach on the East Coast, and there were many people at the beach enjoying the sand and the sun and the ocean. And there were these college-age boys who had carried a couch and a rug to the shoreline as a joke. And I warned them that the tide would come in and wash their couch away, but they just ignored me and they began to laugh. Then all of a sudden, as they were mocking me and laughing at me, I saw this massive wave that was taller than the hotels, taller than the buildings, and it was just positioned to crash onto the beach. In all my life, I've never seen a wave this high in pictures or even when I have been to the beach. This was literally towering over the top of the building. This was the second dream. Then 3 days later, on April the 30th, the Lord gave me, it was a vision. And let me explain. When I say a vision, it's not an open-eyed vision. It's a closed-eye vision where the Lord will actually form pictures, and or sometimes it will look like a video clip that I see with my eyes closed. Then he begins to explain to me. If I don't understand what I'm seeing, he begins to explain to me then what he has just shown me. So in this vision, I was walking side by side with Jesus, and he began to speak these words to me. He said, Patricia, I want to show you some things. Then Jesus parted the clouds so that I could see the earth below, because we were like above in the heavens, and I could see myself on the earth. And there was this mighty wave getting ready to crash on the shoreline. But before the waves hit in this vision, I was lifted up. She said, this is her note, she called it a hope note. Lifted up, I believe this refers to the bride's transformation. Well, hey, that does fit pretty good. I'm not sure it fits with her theology, but it does fit pretty good that there is in these days a bridal transformation. And that is the bride coming to maturity, desiring earnestly to be sanctified and God doing the work. It is happening. I'm watching it and I know it's happening. And everything that takes place in this vision, she went on to comment, may be occurring during the harvest of the church, the lukewarm and the lost. It could even be happening, what she's seeing right here, ahead of the tribulation period, this particular part, okay? Because, as you know, we have a very mentionable earthquake in Revelation 8 at the very beginning of the trumps, right? And when I was lifted up, I could see that the wave was like hundreds of feet tall. It wasn't just a little wave. It was hundreds of feet tall. Jesus spoke these words to me. He said, this wave will hit the east coast. He said, warn the people to get out. This mighty wave will devastate coastal cities and wash inland for many miles. Florida will be decimated. Washington, D.C. will be underwater. New York Harbor will flood the city. In North Carolina, the water will come as far as the mountains. Oh my. So, the warning, of course, is a warning that I've heard before, to get off the East Coast. What do I say about that? Well, I've been saying for a long time, you need to pray about not being in large cities, because of martial law, because of the collapse of the economy, because that they're sending military people to large cities, and they will be feeding and controlling the people and doing what they want with the people and FEMA camps and everything else, you know. I would say, generally speaking, people need to be out of large cities unless the Lord has them there for a purpose. And even if you are there, make sure that you are there for a purpose. And I would say medium cities too. Cities are just not a good place to be when there is an economic collapse, when there's just-in-time food, just-in-time everything. All that breaks down. Okay. And a bad place to be for crime, a desperate people, all these things could kill an awful lot of people, will kill an awful lot of people. So the best thing to do is not be in a big city. Again, so I lay this as a foundation for you to ask the Lord, Lord, do you really want me to be here? If not, where do you want me to be? Okay. And another thing I say is the same thing about the coast. Warnings on the coast because of this shifting of the plates. There's going to be tsunamis in places that are not expected because of great earthquakes that are going to be caused by the shifting of the plates. There's going to be tsunamis in places that are not expected. We're expecting it because we've had so many dreams and visions and prophecies of these things from the East Coast to the Gulf to the West Coast. Okay? And I believe that her revelation here, speaking on the East Coast and also Florida and also what passes over Florida and goes into the Gulf. Okay, so this could have something to do with all of this. And so my idea is the same thing about the cities. If you're on the coast, make sure you've heard from God to be there. because these things are coming, and they are coming very quickly. So, you know, I've warned about this for a long time because, you know, people have children that like to go out and get married and have children. And here they are in this particular area. They love it. They are established. Their children are established, so on and so forth. And you give them a warning and they think they're kind of like Lot's children. When Lot tried to go and tell his children and the children's husbands and so on and so forth, and they were scoffing at him. They had already been established. They had already been polluted by the environment around them, too. So they thought they were scoffers. They were scoffers. And, you know, you raise up kids in a place that you know disaster is coming. Just remember, they may not want to move. You know, we knew for many years that we were going to be moving from the Gulf Coast and that things were coming there, nasty things that were coming there, like tsunamis that were going to take out Florida. We knew it for years. And in 1998, the Lord started telling me that we were going to be moving from there. And we were going to be moving to Tennessee, he ultimately told me. And that he was going to make a refuge where we were going. And that we had to do this to escape what was coming. Those are the things that the Lord was impressing me at that time. And that was around 1998, if I remember correctly. I didn't move. I just waited. I said, told the Lord, I'll be here whenever you tell me and whenever you show me where to go. And so it was really just, 5 years ago that we really knew exactly where to go from the Lord. Many revelations given to many brethren. And the Lord told me to move. So I just moved when the Lord... We asked for signs. We got signs when to move. They weren't signs of when these judgments were coming, but we knew the judgments were coming. But they were signs of when he wanted us to move. Now we know why we moved, when we did move, so we could prepare a place. And also so that the trials that we've gone through to prepare us could happen. We've seen quite a few good reasons. We're very happy with what the Lord has done with his people. We all notice the awesome fruit that has come of this and the sanctification of the body of people that thought they were supposed to come here and were not. That was their ambition. It was their fear. It was other things that brought them here, and God weeded them out. And praise God for that. And we can see awesome, awesome fruit in the people. Because everybody learned that in order to not be weeded out, you had to have really have a biblical relationship with one another. You had to have the love of the bride for one another. And you had to resist temptation that catered to your flesh. And those that couldn't do that, well, they're gone. There's going to be a great revival among them, too. Many of the leaders will not be around to see it, but many of the people will, and it's going to be a humbling thing that is going to bring them closer to the Lord than if they had not had it. We're just very encouraged. We've prayed, we've prayed diligently, and the Lord's given us answers because of our prayers, So anyway, I'll go on with this. I just want to make a mention of you following the Lord whithersoever he goes, and whether he wants you to go, and making sure if you're on one of the coasts, or you're on a fault line, or you're in cities, that you need to make sure that you're there because God wants you there. You know, when you ask God for something, make sure you don't have an idol. Ezekiel 14, God warns his people that if they come to him asking him questions, and they've got an idol before their face, he's going to answer them according to their idol. Well, that's very dangerous, because he could tell you something that would cause you to pass away. So you have to make sure there's nothing more important to you than God and finding out what he wants you to do. If you got an idol, it's dangerous. Okay? Read Ezekiel 14, you'll see what I'm saying. God will answer you according to your idol. He will send delusion to the people that don't love the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. By the way, I'm going to take this moment to say something about that text. We received that text a few days ago. And we received it in an unusual way. Obviously, God can give you a text that has a prophetic timing for the main fulfillment of it, but also just reading the text, it can fit something that's happening to you here and now and today. Let me read this to you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we received this text right here, this portion of the text. Now we beseech you, brethren, touching the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. And of course, this literally is speaking about the parousia, the physical coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering together of his saints. But what about spiritually? We know that Jesus Christ is coming as he said he was going to come on the morning of the third day as the latter rain. Okay, now, just think about it in a spiritual way. That coming is before the tribulation. The other coming is at the end of the tribulation, after the tribulation. Okay, but taking this in a spiritual way, we wondered, immediately it jumped out to me. Wow! You know? That fits in the spiritual realm with what's about to happen here. Now we beseech you, brethren, touching the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. We know he's coming, as he told us, as the rain, as the latter rain. Who's the latter rain going to be given to? It's given to the man-child ministry first. Why? Because the former rain was given to Jesus, the man-child, first. Okay? Are gathering together unto him to the end that you be not quickly shaken from your mind, nor yet be troubled, either by spirit or by word or by epistle as from us, that the day of the Lord is just at hand. Let no man beguile you in any wise, for it will not be except the falling away come first. Oh, well, you know there's a falling away happening, and personally we watched it close up with the faction, but also there's a falling away happening in religion. Have you noticed more and more of them are turning to homosexuality and things? You know, being forced into the world's mold by opinions. It doesn't take much to twist their arm because they don't have much fortitude in the first place, you know, and they're not really Christian in the first place either. They're just a substitute to distract people from the truth. It will not be except the falling away come first and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Well, we've seen that. We've seen the man of sin, the son of perdition, being revealed by the tribulations and trials and temptations. They can't stand up to the temptation. Trials and temptations come to weed the church. Slander and lies to assassinate people, like the son of perdition does in the physical, he also does in the spiritual, come to weed the church. The evil doer giveth heed to lying lips, the Bible says. So you find out who the evildoers are, right? False prophets come to prove whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And it's pretty easy for the Lord to do. He's gathering the tares in bundles to burn them, so that the sons of God will shine forth in the kingdom of their Father, right? So the falling away has got a cup, and the come, and then the son of perdition is revealed. He that opposes and exalts himself against all that is called God. Well, you know, I've been able to experience just what that actually means with people. you wonder, let's see, what would that really look like? Well, if you've experienced it, you know what it would look like. You know, and I've experienced it. They come against everything that is God, you know. So that he sits in the temple of God, and of course we've studied this to find out that this temple is the spiritual temple of God, the way Paul used the word temple of the body of Christ, right? Sitting in the temple of God, setting himself forth as God, meaning he is his own ruler, his own leader, demonically distracted, and so on and so forth. Remember ye not that when I yet was with you, I told you these things, and now you know that which restraineth to the end, that he may be revealed in his own season. Yeah, how is he going to be revealed, you know? The falling away comes to reveal. It revealed Judas. The falling away revealed Judas, the son of perdition. The falling away is revealing the son of perdition in our midst today. For the mystery of lawlessness doth already work. Only there is one that restraineth now until he be, literally it says in the numerics, come out of the midst. Yeah. What's restraining the coming of the Lord for his people? Well, the tares have to be bundled up. They have to be gathered together. That means gathered out of his kingdom all that sin and cause stumbling. They're gathered together in bundles to burn them. Right? Is that happening? Well, absolutely. It's just so awesome to anybody that's had any experience in this, and we're definitely having an experience of this. So the thing that restrains the coming of the Lord is this falling away and separation of the sons of perdition from the people of God. Okay? And this is happening now with the bride, but it's going to happen with the church too. Boy, I tell you, this is awesome. And then shall be revealed the lawless one whom the Lord Jesus will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to naught by the manifestation of his coming. Again, there's two comings. There's the parousia, which is the physical coming. And there's the epiphany, which is the spiritual coming in his saints. If you want to study that, go to our site. You can study it. Or you can go to Hidden Manna and you can study it. But which coming is he talking about here? Well, in the natural, he's talking about the physical coming at the end of the tribulation. But in the spiritual, there is a spiritual coming at the beginning of the tribulation, right? Even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God sendeth them a working of error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Yep. I'm telling you, the people that were hiding their sins, and some of them were very despicable sins, and not dealing with them, their sins, these are the ones that get taken away. So, if you're in such a position, you know, you're walking in willful disobedience, don't think God's going to tell you where to go. He might send you where he's going to send you, you know. Repent and turn from your sins and humble yourself to the Word of God. If you don't have the Word of God, you don't have the truth. If you don't have the Word of God, you're full of idols. You'll never know the truth. Anything that comes to you will be a false leadership. See? So repent. If you're not going to repent, well, what makes you think you will miss this mighty judgment that's coming upon the land? If you happen to live through this one, you may not live through those tribulation ones, right? So, back to our text. So she saw this high wave coming up on the beach, right? And that was the second dream. And then she had this April 30th dream, an open-eyed vision with pictures and so on and so forth. And the Lord explains this to her. He wants to show her some things. Then Jesus parted the clouds so that I could see the earth below, because we were like above in the heavens, and I could see myself on the earth. And there was this mighty wave getting ready to crash on the shoreline. But before the waves hit in this vision, I was lifted up. Now, and I do believe that that's happening with the bride now. The bride is being lifted up. Her description is pretty good, but it may be for a different reason, but it's pretty good. And when I was lifted up, I could see that the wave was like hundreds of feet tall. Well, you know what? When the bride is lifted up, the bride gets visions and revelations either through other people that she believes or to herself, which she believes. Both are happening. There's warnings coming to the bride about these things. It wasn't just a little wave. It was a mighty wave that will devastate coastal cities and wash inland for many miles. Florida decimated. Washington, D.C., etc., etc. And he said, there are those that will not believe, and they will perish in the wave, he said. Millions of people will lose their lives. Nothing of this magnitude happens on earth unless I speak it through my prophets. I have shown many of my prophets this tsunami, and they are also reporting that it will happen. And as you know, that's pretty much true. Many people have reported this tsunami. Many have not known exactly where it would come from. Some people have thought it might come from La Palma, you know, that Canary Island that's set to any kind of a shake and probably sliding it into the sea, causing a... And so people have theorized that. I personally think that island could possibly be set off by one of those rocks that is fixing to fall in the Atlantic. So, and I really think that the rocks are the thing that's going to set the thing off and begin the earthquakes that we've talked so much about that cross America from east to west. And all that's because of the shifting of the plates. We'll see. Again, I'm not prophesying this. I just, from enough, when you see enough people prophesying or dreaming or having visions of things who are coming from different directions, you know, that's usually the Lord. I mean, he's, throughout history, he's done that whenever something major was coming, some threat was coming. He's given it in dreams and visions and prophecies to his people so that they can be aware, listen, know where they need to be, etc., so on and so forth, you know. I remember the happiest people on earth, Demas Shakarian, spoke about the threat that was coming to his people. And the prophets came through and warned them that the Turks were about to come over the mountains and slaughter a whole bunch of Armenians. And the people that believed the dreams and visions and prophecies moved. The Lord even told them where to move. They moved to the west coast of the United States. He also told them there will be a time when they would move from there, which many of them have moved from there. And so because something was coming to the United States that they didn't want to be a part of, right? Well, God does that. I mean, he speaks to his people in dreams, visions, and prophecies when something very, very dangerous is coming. He gives them an opportunity first to believe the dreams and visions and prophecies. He gives a gift to believe the dreams and visions and prophecies. And the rest are taken out, as they were, as the Armenians were taken out by the Turks, right? It was a devastating massacre. So anyway, he went on to say, the Spirit said the United States of America is about to swing into a new season. At first, it will be a prosperous time. Well, considering when she got this, we've already had that prosperous time, what people thought was a recovery. And we're about to start the 7 years of famine, you know, that Joseph's situation was a prophecy of, you know. But it will be short-lived. Next, it will be a season of devastation from all directions. Well, we've heard from the Lord that when these things start, it's going to be bang, 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 bang right down the row, and no space in between. It's going to be such devastation that everything in the world is going to change, including the new world order. Everything in the world is going to change. Freedom will be a thing of the past, because freedom has been abused by God's people. It's been abused by the people of the world. God is taking it away. Communism is coming. Got a communist pope, got a communist leader, you know, that pretty much agree together to do this thing. So, basically, it's all coming down now. And the Lord said to her, the first devastation will hit, and when she is reeling from that one, the next one will be right on its heels. And when it looks like it cannot get any worse, indeed it will. This series of devastating events will cripple your nation and bring her to her knees. She will realize that she's no longer the powerful nation she once was. Let me say this. I do believe that every nation is about to realize that they're not the powerful nation that they were. However, the food chain may change a little bit, you know. I've said many times and said it for a long, long time that leading up to the time when Russia and China conquer the United States at the end of the tribulation period, America is going to be at the top, but she's going to be continually getting weaker and weaker and weaker from the attacks until that time comes when she's easily conquered, easily invaded and easily conquered. But this nation will realize that it's no longer the powerful nation it once was. He said, look to the skies and you will see the first devastation. Look to the skies. She has a note here. Could this be Nibiru? Colors in the sky? Well, could it be something like rocks coming from the sky that are set on this course through Nibiru? Well, we'll see, right? But he does tell you, the first devastation. Now, that's the same thing that Virginia Boldia said. Whether her comets are actually asteroids, I don't know. When they're coming into the atmosphere, it may be hard to tell the difference. But anyway, she had three comets coming to the Earth as the beginning of troubles. So, same thing the Lord says here. Look to the skies, you'll see the first devastation. Then he says, look to the seas and you'll see the next devastation. Well, that fits very good if you consider that the first devastation is causing a tsunami or tsunamis. Okay, that fits too, doesn't it? Okay. Look to the earth and you will see the third devastation. Earthquakes. Earthquakes. That's my opinion. You know, that's what this is talking about, but it seems to fit with a lot of other things that we've received. The rocks coming from the sky. The tsunamis, especially a tsunami hitting the East Coast for our situation. And by the way, I shared recently with you the very ancient Irish prophecy of Ireland being overcome by a tsunami that is a rock that hits the ocean, which is a little further north than Ephraim's rock that hit the ocean. Right? Okay. I, the Lord of the heavens, the earth and beneath the earth, have spoken. He's in control of all three of these major things that are going to bring devastation, bring a wilderness atmosphere for, and actually create the refuges. The earthquakes will create the refuges. The cleft in the rock. What clefts the rock? Okay, so that's another thing. It prepares the refuge. It prepares the people to go into the wilderness because they see what's happening. Something big has got to happen to do that. People like their comfort. Okay? But if it looks like you're going to go into a FEMA camp, you might reconsider. Right? So there's just, I don't know, it just seems to me, that things are fitting together, you know. And also, the Lord is talking about the national distress for America. He also said this, I want to show you things that will happen in the United States of America during these years of tribulation. Well, if I'm not mistaken, her theology is that she's not going to be here. And some of the people around her who, you know, even this interviewer here, John Baptist, I think he's pretty well convinced of that, that they're not really worried about these things because they probably won't be here. But at any rate, you know, God can straighten those things out. All he's got to do is say the truth to people. And then, you know, when the dominoes start falling, they begin to figure, wait a minute, this is happening here, this is happening there, you know. Well, this is how this fits. And, you know, they get the revelation. It's good. You know, pray for anybody that doesn't have their ducks in a row and ask the Lord to do it for them, and He will. He will ultimately do it because time will change people's minds, you know. He called them years of tribulation, she said. These years of tribulation. It will be a time of great national distress. He said, all these things will occur in the final years before I return. And she has a hope note here. I believe he is referring to his second coming, meaning not his coming in the rapture, but his second coming. See, so she's saying these things will happen before he comes at the end, right? But we know that these things are happening. For instance, let me suggest this, you know, that the Lord is coming like that rock from heaven and to strike the earth, to cause tsunami and earthquake. And at this time, he will be inhabiting his new leadership for God's people. So that the people who are now being forced into the wilderness because of these happenings will have some leadership. Right? So you see things just kind of fit together. Anyway, God's got it all figured out. We don't. But He just gives us little bits and pieces along the way. And sometimes the pieces start fitting together and we say, oh boy. So, this is what the Holy Spirit showed me. That the dams would be breaking and flooding the people below. Well, we just happen to have a dam that's up north, which is in the process of being washed away because it's called Boone Dam, and up above it is called Boone Lake. And Boone Lake up there is like 165 feet above where the dam lets out its water. That's a lot of head pressure, folks. And now they're finding water that's bypassing the dam or going under the dam and coming up on the other side. Muddy water, do they know where it's coming from? 165 feet or 7 feet or something, 167 feet, 165 feet of water pressure is powerful. It's so powerful, they probably will never be able to fix this. I'm telling you, I used to work at Exxon, and I remember down near the Mississippi River where the levee was, in the levee when the high water of the Mississippi River came up high on that levee. It was actually above the lower part of Exxon. And I one time had a crew working down there when the water pressure was actually going underneath the levee and scooting up out of the ground in this lower part of Exxon. And when water would come scooting up out of the ground, it would shoot just about as high as the river was on the other side of the levee. It would come scooting up out of the ground. And you know, you'd think, well, I can go over there and put a sandbag on top of that, and that'll be the end of that. No, you can't. It just can't happen. If you throw a sandbag on it, it will find another place to come out, and it will come out. You know what we had to do? We had to build sandbag mounds around each one of these waters that scooted up out of the ground, high enough to where it wasn't going, it was going to stop it. In other words, bring it up to the, almost to the level of the river. And so you could look out across that lower part of Exxon, where the water clarification plant was, by the way. It was being invaded by the Mississippi River. You can't hold, with a dirt levee, you cannot hold water back for very long. A day or two, but if it stays there for very long, the longer it stays there, the softer the dirt gets. Now, Boone Dam is an earthen levee dam. This water is coming out of the bottom of Boone Lake 165 or 7 feet above the water level that comes out the bottom of the dam. And it's coming out on the downside, and it's coming underneath the earthen dam, and it's continuing to wash. And of course, they've had submarines up there looking the bottom of the lake over, trying to find out where is the drain. And they've tried at the bottom to plug the drain, which is totally useless. You know, like we found out at the levee down there, you can throw all kinds of stuff on top of that water scooting up out of the ground. It won't do a bit of good. And it's not going to do a bit of good for them. And so they've been fighting this thing now for quite some time, trying to figure out how to stop it. And I say, it's probably not going to happen. And it hasn't happened, and they don't have any prediction of when it could happen, and I don't think it can happen, because that's an awful lot of pressure. 165 foot of head pressure is an awful lot of water pressure. There's nothing you can do. If you could do it, you'd have to plug the upside, not the downside, the upside. And this I know, you've got to plug it on the river or on the water side, you know, on the lake side, it has to be plugged. If not, they're not going to stop it. And anyway, that one has got several nuclear reactors downstream from it. And what's going to happen when the plates move and all of these nuclear power plants have to be shut down, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? There's a lot of changes about to be made, folks. In a lot of ways, we're going back to the dark ages here. Nothing is going to be the same. Okay, and I personally, I think that the fault line, one of the fault lines that I've been talking about for a long time, goes right up there through that dam. You know, a lot of water courses are caused by faults. And I personally believe that that's what's causing that. Anyway, we'll find out. We had an earthquake up there in Virginia that was pretty good. We felt it down here. And it's along the fault line. And so, you know, men, you know, if you could see into the future, they would change a lot of things. One thing they'd change is earthen dams. And even if it's totally concrete, long stretches of concrete don't hold up when the earth is moving. You see the potholes and the sinkholes happening all over, especially along the fault lines. this is the earth moving. And nothing long and rigid like a long dam can hold up to that. Nothing. Okay? And we haven't seen anything yet as far as earthquakes. Now, if they made them out of rubber, maybe so. But that would be an engineering feat, too. You know? Anyway. Dams would be breaking. He specifically told me that Hoover Dam will be one that breaks. Whoa. And we've had many confirmations of this, she says. He said power supplies will be cut off to major cities. And, of course, they're, you know, if it wasn't for these things bringing them down, the Chinese are very adept at hacking our system, and they're able to bring down the power grid, and everybody knows it. Okay? So, anyway, you know, it's just going to be a mess. And, you know, everybody's got their weaponry, and some of it is, you know, like HAARP or scalar weapons or things that you can't really necessarily prove somebody done it, except that they've hit you and it's too late. An earthquake has started, or a volcanic action has started from a scalar weapon. You know, and it's just tit for tat. They're having a war sometimes, and you never know they're having it. We're getting hit with weather warfare. Texas crossed Obama, and boom, they get hit with weather warfare. And they've perfected that since way back, you know. So don't tell me it didn't happen. It happens, and they can do it, and they do it, you know. So, at any rate, let me read on here. He said, power supplies will be cut off to major cities and it will plunge people into darkness. Then, interesting, I saw a huge, while he was giving this message to me, I saw a vision of a huge ash cloud. Well, you know, earthquakes, over large areas are bound to set off volcanoes. There isn't much way around it, you know. I saw a vision of an ash cloud, and I saw these little bits of debris that were falling to the earth. Well, that sounds like a volcanic action. I mean, obviously this stuff can go up there and start falling for many, many hundreds of miles down the road. You know, and if you didn't listen to the news, if you had news, and you didn't listen to the news or didn't hear anything about it, you wouldn't know where it was coming from. Except the sky would be darkened and things would be falling out of the sky. Now, when I saw that ash cloud in my mind, I thought it had to be either one of two scenarios. Yeah. Either it was volcanic ash or it was debris from nuclear bomb. I wasn't sure which. Well, I do believe we have both coming. There is a war coming. And it may end up with some nukes being tossed back and forth. Not the kind of nukes that are going to be tossed back and forth at the end of the tribulation period. That's going to be major. Yeah, just one nuke hitting a city is major, but I understand that. But we're talking about a lot of cities getting hit with nukes. And that's at the end of the tribulation period, for sure. Read Hidden Manna, you'll know it. Too much proof of it. Either it was volcanic ash or it was debris from a nuclear bomb. I'm not sure which. Let me continue with what the Lord said, because it will tie in. He said that the buildings would be collapsing and falling into water. The causeways that connected islands to mainlands would collapse, leaving people stranded on islands. I saw the deep fissures in the earth's surface as a result of great earthquakes. Yeah. Many people were dying because medicines were scarce during this time. Then I saw people being killed with guns, and martial law was going to replace the civil law of the land. Yeah, because when you have a lack of food, a lack of resources, just-in-time services that go down. People do get crazy, and most of the people, let's face it, don't have morals when it comes to desperation. They don't have the fortitude to be decent. And so it's one of the reasons God's going to judge America and the world anyway. These people are evil, and increasingly so. So, yep, martial law would come, of course. Means the suspension of all civil life, and it would be replaced by military authority. There goes your rights. I have dreams about the Statue of Liberty being destroyed where it is. We have dreams about Statue of Liberty being destroyed in the Gulf of Mexico. We have dreams of the Statue of Liberty being destroyed in the waters off the West Coast. What do you think that means, the Statue of Liberty? You see, these things that are God-ordained and done by Him, it doesn't matter if God does them through somebody. It's still God doing it, because He was the only one that works all things after the counsel of His own will. It's still God doing it. And God is saying, I'm taking away your liberty. Okay? There would be curfews, roadblocks, checkpoints in order to maintain control. Don't think that they don't know about all this, and it's part of their plan. They're, you know, you never let a good disaster go to waste. That's when you get to change laws and do all kinds of things that people don't even know happened, right? Well, they love that. And we've got the professionals up there now. They know exactly how to do that. So, and we know, she says, she goes on to say, we know that President Obama has already signed in December 2013. He's brought the government's power to enact martial law even in peaceful time. Well, it's not going to be a peaceful time, so, yep. Well, you know, I know that Trump is, you know, gaining in the polls and doing pretty good, you know, in the polls, but it's totally a waste. I don't believe for 1 minute Obama's going to give up office. And I do believe that the actions of both the Muslims that are coming into the country to burn it down and to behead people, and the earthquakes and the volcanoes and the disasters, all of these coming upon the country, will totally take away any kind of freedom. Martial law will rule. And she said, the Lord said that the United States of America will fall because of her wickedness. Totally agreed. He said, I raise nations up and I take nations down according to my will. I bless nations that follow my command. I curse nations that disobey my command. All that will happen to your nation will be a result of your nation's sin. And a nation, you have clamored for rights. As a nation, you have clamored for rights. People say that rights are freedom, when in fact it is bondage. Homosexuality is not a civil right. It is bondage to sexual impurity and destroys the covenant of marriage that I established. He said abortion in bondage is bondage because of the emotional destruction that comes from taking the life of an innocent child. I do believe that there's never been any such thing as an abortion that didn't destroy or bring into destruction the people that did it. It just don't happen. You're loosing a curse on your life. Anyway, I'm going back to what she's saying here. He said, sin is bondage, and all sin is abhorrent to me, the Lord said. Then he continued on to say that the United States of America is a whelp. He said, I gave her birth to be an ally of Israel. The United States will decrease and Israel will increase in the end. Well, now she's talking about the end, right? At the end of the age, there will be no greater nation than Israel. I will cause events to happen that will diminish the power and influence of the United States of America. He said, people will say, this condition happened, but indeed it will happen because I have spoken. Yeah, people always give natural things, but the truth is, God's behind it all. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. Nobody restrains His hand. You know, I talked about weather warfare. Well, that's true. That's being spoken of here in just a little bit here. That's true. God uses vessels of honor. He uses vessels of dishonor. But He is in control. They are all serving Him. He said, nations that have great power in the past ages no longer exist because I declared their demise. He said, my child, you will declare these things and people will scoff at you and say, you have not heard from me. But truly I say unto you, these things will happen before I return. Now he's telling you there, all of this is going to happen before he comes back physically in the parousia, right? He said, and I don't understand why people could miss that. Obviously, there isn't a pre-trib rapture of the church. Okay. He said, do not fear to speak my truth. I am all powerful. I can wipe out a nation with my breath. With my voice, I can flatten mountains, move islands, create earthquakes, floods, and famine. He said, man is frail compared to my great power and my outstretched hand. But this is the beauty of it. As children of the Most High, he said, I will protect, provide, and possess my chosen and holy people. I want you to know that no matter what I show you about these end times, he said, you are in the palm of my hand. Do not fear or worry. Just know that I am with you and I will bless you and your family. Amen. He is going to get people's attention. So you know, even when we get such. Now let me back up a little bit. All this the Lord is saying to His faithful people, you know. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge or understanding, you know. But those that are seeking the Lord and want to follow Him, are willing to repent, they will receive God's best. Why do the people try to scare you out of this country, thinking they can run from this when this is actually going to be a worldwide thing? Why do they do that? Do they not believe God's word about Him being a provider and a savior in Psalm 91 and all? They actually don't believe it, do they? No, they really don't. So what's the point? The point is, you just need to be where God tells you to be. Don't run anywhere because of fear. You're going to run right into trouble because fear is a demon. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. As many as are led by fear are headed for disaster, because that's a demon. He's out to destroy you. Right? So when you hear people get up and tell you, run, run, it's time to leave America. I listened to an Alex Jones, I don't ever do this, but somebody sent me one where he was just wild-eyed. And just terrified. All of his elite people were leaving the country. All of his friends that were a part of him were leaving the country. All of the, you know, and asking him, what in the world are you still doing? Don't you believe what's going on? And he's thinking, well, you know, I've been thinking about it coming for so long, I haven't thought about it being here, but it looks like it's all coming down now! It was just wild, you know. It was wild. You know what? People out there are preaching fear. That's the work of the devil. To tell you that these things are coming is necessary. To fear the Lord is good. To fear man is evil. When you put everything in the hands of man and say, man's doing this, man's doing that. Well, we know that, but God is the one behind it. He's using vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor to either chasten or to bless his people, right? So it's God you have to fear, not man. So these people preach about man, 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 and what you better do. You better flee. You better hide. You know, what about what he just got through saying here? You know, I mean, what about Psalm 91? What about all these promises that God has? I mean, God kept his people through the wilderness in spite of the enemies, in spite of the disasters, in spite of the lack, in spite of all these things. He kept them going through this wilderness. He even blessed them when they shouldn't have been blessed, naturally speaking. You know, he was merciful, in other words. You know, so we need to get away from the false. So, you know, even when we get such, all these reports that seem to be so devastating and so horrific, we can look to the Lord and know that he is our mighty strong tower. What do you need a tower for? Well, from all the disasters down below, right? He is our mighty strong tower, right? That we can run to him and he will protect us in this great time of affliction. During this horrible time, the Lord said, many will get saved. Well, that's what we're here for. What are you wanting to fly away for? For goodness sake, we got work to do. He said, the fear that the end is near will cause people, listen to this, will cause people to seek out Christians for truth. He said, just know that all must be perceive as the Holy Scriptures have stated. This is where he said the sword will be the nuclear war. So he's talking about a nuclear war. The famine will result from the drought when I withhold the rain. The pestilence, and by the way, weather warfare is going on to rob the West Coast and bring it to the East Coast, drown out the farmers in the East Coast so that they can't get in the field and get their stuff up and to dry up to powder the West Coast. He's destroying the Lord. Is he using men? Yes, he's using men. Doesn't matter. It's still the Lord. The Lord is doing this. He is judging. And he's put wicked people to bring these judgments. The pestilence will be a new strain of disease that is not known. Well, they're making those all the time too, aren't they? And there will not be a cure. It will quickly kill people like the Black Plague. He said the war will last 5 years and the famine will follow quickly. Well, famine usually follows war because in war, people try to destroy the enemy's food supply, obviously, right? And if that wasn't enough, the Lord's intent on destroying the food supply, okay? He said, my children will need wisdom to survive this tribulation. Food will be scarce, but my children will be prepared for the famine. Yeah, some are stocking up. If they don't believe, they're stocking up, and others have been shown by God how to have miracles, etc., etc. He said, I'm instructing my children, not my sons, but my children, to begin to fill up their storehouses before the famine strikes, just as I instructed Joseph while he was in Egypt. Yep, well, just remember this about Joseph now. Joseph was a type of Jesus, and we do store up under him in the kingdom of heaven, like Jesus commanded us to do. Okay, you say, are some doing that? Yes, and if he tells you to do that, do that, but if he don't. Okay, I personally know that God's already got a supply in the refuges that is going to be plundered from Egypt. And people are going to have to pack up and leave their houses and all of their supply and travel distances in many cases without these supplies. They're going to be moving. And if you're not ready to move, you need to be ready to move. When the Lord says move, He may tell you to take the clothes on your back, get in your car, or start walking, or something. He is going to be moving people, some people, at the last minute. Other people, He's moving ahead of time. We'll see. What was next was, He said, that the landscape of America is about to change. There will be many signs I perform as a warning to your nation. Now, this is interesting. He said the waterways will become poisonous. Well, we can see that happening, can't we? Yeah, from greed, you know, the wash off of poisons that they're putting on the ground, poisons that are flushed down the toilet, you know, poisons that are coming out of the air, besides all that which is done purposely. Okay? And I only record what He tells me. I don't know how that's going to happen. The hills will begin to tremble. The stars will lose their brilliance. Your sun will begin to emit flashes of radiation. Hey, I think we're seeing that now, aren't we? He said, weather patterns will change. My hand is on the weather. These things will not happen by chance, because I will cause them to happen with my outstretched hand, right? Most meteorologists have an explanation for the weather phenomena, but during this time, I will defy all human reasoning. And people will get used to that, so they won't really recognize any weather warfare that's being done through men. He said, until people come to realization that I am Yahweh, I am in control, they will be confused about when events will occur on this earth. He said he also talked about in the central plains will see a great hurricane that will dump great amounts of rain. He also said the Appalachians will be the furthest point east before the Mississippi River expands its boundaries. Did you hear that? Okay, I'll say that again. The Appalachians will be the furthest point east. You remember how the wave comes in to the east coast and runs up to the Appalachians, right? And now it's saying they will be the furthest point east before the Mississippi River expands its boundaries, which is, we've heard, of course, is the crack that comes down the middle of the country, the New Madrid, the destruction of the Great Lakes pouring out into the Mississippi, etc. Well, that fits exactly with what we've been talking about. It's first going to start in the east, earthquake in the east, the tsunami in the east, and then it's going to move over to the New Madrid. Okay? And he said the ocean will come as far as the Rockies in some areas. And so that's out of the West Coast. Don't think that that's coming from the East Coast. Okay? That's coming from the West Coast. So it's not as bad as you think. All right? Okay. He said the Grand Canyon will begin to fill with water, because there's water going into the ground in places it never did go into the ground, and it's coming out in places it never has come out as far in our lifetime anyway. He said the Great Lakes will combine to form one large body. He said the geological plates will shift. Well, how many of them, Lord? Well, I'm guessing all of them. Okay. This is another message I just received in July of 2014. He said, war is coming to America. There is wickedness in high places. We know that. Those in the spiritual realm and the natural realm. They are plotting behind the scenes to take America down. Yes, it's happening. I don't know why people are so blind. It's happening. Under our noses. Nobody can make that many mistakes. But that's because they're not mistakes. Important information was given to the Russian government regarding the United States, and the Russians will use this information to attack the infrastructure of your nation. Well, we know that too. We've heard that for a long, long time. And I'll tell you something else. The communists, like Dmitry Duterman, are going to start the war. It's not the communists that are without that are going to start the war. It's the communists that are within that are going to start the war. And, of course, the Russians are going to take advantage of that when the nation is very weak, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe, as she says, that war may last for 5 years. I don't know. He said, many will hear of this plan but ignore it, thinking it cannot happen to their beloved nation. Well, there is wickedness in high places, in governments, banking, and independent companies who line their pockets with gold at the expense of your people. I want to say, too, that that gold could be the hook that Lindsey Williams is sharing with people, because if they get all the dollars and they change the dollar, they have a way, of course, of changing currency so that the dollar is worthless, so that you have to trade them in so they know exactly what you got, right? But on the other hand, they're herding people towards gold, and they're going to take it up. I know they're going to take it up, because the things that have been are the things that shall be, and they took it up during the last depression, right? Okay. So, he said, and haven't they suppressed the gold? It didn't go to anything like the gold salesman said it would, right? I don't know. And silver, too. And he said, truth has been suppressed. Your country has become a nation of lies. Darkness is about to overcome your nation. A deep darkness will cover the people because they love the lies and not the truth. Yes, Satan and his angels are going to come down, be cast down to the earth. Great darkness in the earth. You think people can get silly with demons in them now? Wait just a little bit. We call them stupid demons, not because they're stupid, because they make people stupid, you know. He said, but all is not lost. Do not despair, my children, for out of the darkness comes my glorious light. Yep, the darkness just makes the light shine better for the people who have eyes to see, right? Also, the Lord, just right along the lines of what you were just saying, the Lord said, tell the people that hell is expanding. This saddens my heart. I never created hell for mankind. Those in rebellion and disobedience to their Creator will be eternally damned. The landscape of America is about to change. I will establish cities of refuge for the ones who know me intimately. And that means the others can't go there. And if they do, they will get run off. He started talking about getting intimate with him. Start spending one-on-one time with Jesus and your Heavenly Father, he said. These cities will be a place of safety under my wing of protection. He said, call to me, and I will show you and guide you to a city of refuge in these perilous times. He said, stay close to me, and I will instruct you. He said, do not fear, my little children. I am with you, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. So, like you said, it's not a time to be fearful. It's a time to draw even closer and closer to our Creator and to our Savior. Well, amen. So, that's that. I'm going to go back to what Lindsey Williams said. There's a couple of things there I'd like to address. Again, he said that the New World Order will be implemented in September. Okay, that remains to be seen. These guys could be telling him the truth. They could be also lying. Okay, but from what I can see, something around that time is likely. That's my opinion. Okay. Obviously, the Shemitah will be fulfilled there, and the very good possibility of the beginning of a worldwide financial collapse. Okay? And that's easier done than we think. You know, even if it had a little Greece, I mean, they're trying to prop up Greece again. And they may be temporarily successful, but I guarantee it's just temporary. And maybe even Germany would be one of the next to fall. But look, well, he's going to tell you about some of these things down further down, so I'm not going to speak on them. And the new world currency will be introduced in October. We are at the brink of total worldwide financial collapse. Pastor Lindsey Williams has asked me, that's the person writing this for him, who I think I know, to compile an emergency bulletin for those on his email list. The information is so important, he has said, this is probably the most important bulletin we have ever sent. This is the fulfillment of everything the elite have ever wanted to do. Yes, it is. It will affect every human being worldwide. They will implement this over a period of time. The dates have now been officially set for the start of implementation. The New World Order will be implemented in September. Okay, well, we'll just wait and see, right? But it could be. It could be. It could happen. The Roman Catholic Pope just announced when he speaks at the United Nations on the 25th September 2015 that he will issue an encyclical. The definition of an encyclical is a letter from the Pope sent to all Roman Catholic bishops throughout the world. Every Roman Catholic is expected to obey. There are 1.2 billion Roman Catholics around the world. According to Pastor Williams, this means that when the Pope announces the New World Order in front of the annual gathering of the world leaders on September the 25th, 2015, at the United Nations, just before the signing and implementation of the post-2015 development agenda, that the Pope will order every Roman Catholic around the world to obey unconditionally, total obedience, including the acceptance of the mark of the beast when it is announced. All right. In the newsletter Pastor Williams issued in June, it speaks about the visit of Pope Francis to the USA and what the Holy See, that is the Vatican, is involved with in the United Nations global government and the Sustainable Development Agenda 21. Pastor Williams elaborates in detail in his DVD what this means in his new DVD. Okay. And the new world currency will be introduced in October. On October the 20th, 2015, the International Monetary Fund will announce a new world currency. The IMF is one of the most secretive and powerful organizations in the world. They monitor the financial health of more than 188 member countries. They establish global money rules and provide bailout assistance to bankrupt nations. On October the 20th, 2015, the IMF is expected to announce a reserve currency alternative to the U.S. dollar, which will send hundreds of billions of dollars moving around the world literally overnight. I guess trade-ins, he didn't say, but possibly. The author of the most prominent financial newsletter says what is about to happen will threaten your way of life, whether you own an investment related to it or not. It will change everything about your normal way of life. Where you vacation, where you send your kids or grandkids to school, etc. We are at the brink of total worldwide financial collapse. Pastor Williams has shared with me some articles that truly tell you how frightening the global situation is. He said to me, this is getting more hysterical or dangerous by the day. If only people knew and believed how close to disaster we are when this blows up. There has never been anything like it in the history of mankind. Pastor Williams tried to tell you repeatedly for nearly 40 years. The Eurozone, his bullet points here, the Eurozone financial Armageddon. The combined Greek, Italian, Portugal, and Spain euro debt represents $120 trillion of derivative debt, also known as IOUs, between banks and the ECB, has no cash or liquidity in the system, only derivative debt that compounds every day. Another bullet point, the BIS nightmare that will send the world into panic. The derivative position of U.S. banks for Q1 2015 has just been published, and the reading is more frightening than ever. The top five U.S. banks have total a derivative exposure of $247 trillion. This is 3.5 times the world's GDP. Total derivatives for all banks in the world are just over $600 trillion. But these figures are less than half of the real exposure. A few years ago, the BIS in Basel changed the basis of valuation of derivatives to, quote, value to maturity, unquote. This basically halved the value of outstanding derivatives overnight, based on the old and proper valuation to total outstanding today would probably be at least 1.5 quadrillion. And remember, when a counterparty fails, notional value is the real value that would be lost. It is absolutely guaranteed that this 1.5 quadrillion will implode in the next few years and drag the whole financial system with it. But before that process is finished, central banks worldwide will print a few quadrillion dollars, euros and yen, in their desperate attempt. And Pastor Williams' Wall Street Insider friend said the following about this article. Thanks. Good update. You've warned about this for years. This is why a little event like Greece or another could unravel the whole system. Well, yeah. And another bullet point. Citigroup just cornered the precious metals derivative market. Citigroup's precious metals, mostly silver, now that gold is lumped in with the FX, exposure over the past 4 years. Of note, the 1,260% increase in precious metals derivative holdings in the past quarter, from just $3.9 billion to $53 billion, soared from just 17.4% to over 70%. There is just one word for what Citigroup has done to what the precious metals, excluding gold, cornering, Pastor Williams said. We live in a strange world of rapidly developing events. They are preparing for something big. News, and again, the politicians, the elite, they're taking their money out of the bank, and they're, some of them leaving the country because they know what's coming. And they don't have Jesus. Another bullet point. News is coming constantly from around the world as this newsletter was being prepared. Check out these headlines. China is banning major pension fund shareholders from selling for 6 months. 54% of the entire Chinese stock market is frozen. Trading on the New York Stock Exchange was suspended for a technical glitch, with all open orders canceled. Microsoft fires 7,800 employees. The Australian dollar has hit a new low. Every day there is more news about the implosion of the global economy, and you have to take action. The bombshells about the New World Order and the new global currency should give you the motivation to take action and prepare. Pastor Williams has been unveiling the truth behind the elite plan for humanity and this planet for over 38 years. All of his DVDs will help you, and such a bunch of sales stuff, you know. So anyway, he's got this new book out, Things You Must Do Before September the 15th, 2015, and the Prophecy Club is selling this to you to save your life for something like $40, $48 or something like that, you know. You know, if it's something to save somebody's life, I think I'd just have to give it to them. Don't you think so? I mean, just greed can just go just so far. Anyway, he has a few bullet points here concerning this things to do before September the 15th, and two of them stuck out to me. Alternate location, which means you don't necessarily need to be in the same place that they have plotted for you and know where you are. I don't have the book, so I can't tell you, but this is just a thought that comes to me. Move or suffer. You know, I've been already talking to you about that this evening. You have to be willing to move or suffer. If you're in a dangerous place, you're not where the Lord wants you, or if the Lord speaks to you, she said the Lord spoke to her, said he would guide people to cities of refuge, etc., or places of refuge, because there are some places of refuge that are much bigger than cities. And anyway, move or suffer. I want to say to you, question if you're in the areas of great fault lines like the New Madrid or the West Coast or whatever. Question and ask the Lord. Make sure you know he wants you there now. Not last year, but does he want you there now? And ask him to. And make sure that you're walking holy before him. Righteousness delivereth from death, Proverbs says a couple times. Righteousness delivereth from death. Repent. If you haven't repented, you must do it now. To hear the word of the Lord and to be where you need to be and to be able to give advice to your children or your parents or whatever, you know, you have to be willing to move or suffer the consequences. And I'm not going to go into the rest of it. One of them was how to stay warm without electricity. Yes. And anyway, I'm not going to go any further on this, but just get close to the Lord, saints. It's these things are coming down. Father, we just ask you, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you sanctify us, Lord. Sanctify us from the things that we've never really fought against in our life that we know are wrong. Sanctify us of these things. We want to be holy before you, Lord. We know that Jesus died in order to deliver us from our sins so that we could walk in the light as he is in the light. And have fellowship one with another, as your word says in 1 John 1:7 through 9. And Lord, we ask you, Father, to make us willing, to work in us to willing to do of your good pleasure. Make us willing to give up anything, any idol, any sin that is an idol, so that we may hear your voice clearly. And maybe you haven't ever spoken to someone because they are in rebellion, Lord. But we ask you to break through. We ask you to give grace. We ask you to grant repentance. We ask you to chasten, if necessary, to bring people to repentance before these terrible things come upon the world. And the great chastening comes. And we ask you to open the eyes of God's people to understand that they're not going anywhere. They're going through this thing. There is no rapture, pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And all that does is cause an awful lot of people not to prepare to live through this thing. Not to prepare to be holy so they can hear the voice of God. Not to prepare. It was the devil's delusion. It's one of those strong delusions that was sent because people loved not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So, Lord, we're asking you to have mercy. to grant grace, to grant repentance, to turn your people to you. Thank you for sanctifying your bride in these days as a new leadership for the church, just like in the book of Esther. Mordecai, the man-child, and Esther, the bride, were that new leadership for God's people to escape Haman, the beast, and all of his multitudes of people that were going to make war and to kill off the saints. Well, they've got that plan today, Lord, but we know there's a way of escape. The Lord Jesus delivered us from the curse. He became a curse for us so that we might have Abraham's blessings. Even in the midst of this worldwide catastrophe, we might have Abraham's blessings, God's provision, God's happiness, God's joy. And the bride is the first to enter into this happiness, joy, freedom, love, beauty, and following the man-child. And we just give thanks to you, Father, for your wonderful plan. We give thanks to you that you're going to bring it to pass. And just as you told this lady here, you're going to take care of your people. You have provided for them. You have provided places for them. Not that everybody's going to any kind of a refuge, obviously, but we have a refuge in Jesus Christ for those who are holy. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So, what do you see if you don't have holiness? Well, you see tribulation, trouble, and things that would normally drive a person to go to God and to go to the Scriptures. Lord, the Scriptures are going to be powerful and important to your people very soon. They're going to realize that their leaders are not able to lead them. And just like the Pharisees and Sadducees of your day, Lord Jesus, you were the leader, and you were raising up leaders for the true people of God, and the rest of them were following the Pharisees to destruction that came shortly thereafter. And the beast destroyed the harlot of that day, and the beast will destroy the harlot of our day. And the Sanhedrin and their false prophets that led God's people are just like the Sanhedrin of our day, full of false prophets that lead God's people. And Lord, you said in John chapter 10 that you came to lead your sheep out of the sheepfold. They know you and you know them by name. And you're going to lead them out and give them freedom. And the rest will just stay in the sheepfold and die. And we thank you, Father, for your great mercy towards us in granting us repentance, giving us understanding. Thank you for sending dreams and visions to your people to impress them with these things that are coming upon the world. Thank you for sending them to your people who are in the world, who don't yet have enough sense to come out of the world. Send your dreams and visions to our families. Send it to our children, our parents, etc., etc. Send your dreams and visions to show them what is coming, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Because of your mercy, because of your grace, and because you have put faith in us, Lord, we ask you to do this. For the people that we prayed for, Lord, send your dreams and visions to them. Open their understanding. Lord, you said in Psalm 89 you were going to send visions to your people about the man-child, who they are, who they're supposed to be following. Lord, we ask you for that in Jesus' name. We ask you for a mighty miracle of that so that suddenly your people are ready to follow new leadership. And because of this shaking in the world, it's going to disrupt many churches. There will be no opportunity for people to go back to some of the cliques that they were in. And thank God for that. And not only that, the beast and the invaders, Muslim invaders, are going to be willing to get rid of those churches and their leadership. And all kinds of things are coming down. Lord, we just thank you for your mercy and grace towards us all. And we love you. We're excited about what you're going to do for your people in delivering them suddenly and quickly out of the clutches of this false religious leadership who's working for Satan. We thank you, Father. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for hearing our prayers today. Thank you for doing miracles among your people, signs and wonders, mighty, powerful signs and wonders through your man-child ministry and through the bride, through the two witnesses. Thank you for raising up the true fivefold ministry. Thank you, Lord, for raising up your church into a powerful body of Christ that nobody can handle. Oh, praise you, Father.